For our scripture reading, let us turn to the book of Judges, chapter 6. We continue our scripture reading from the book of Judges, chapter 6, and we read verses 25 through 32. 25 through 32. Where we read God's holy word. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place. And take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it's yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. So far the reading of the scripture. The text for the sermon is the portion we have read from the scripture. Judges 6, the verses 25 through 32. Beloved congregation, last week we listened to the story of Gideon's call to be a judge over Israel. The Lord had convinced Gideon that he was the man that was to deliver his people from the Midianites. Gideon feared the Lord, but internally there was a struggle with the way of the Lord. In his own eyes, he was totally unfit to be a judge over Israel. But the Lord had said, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God gave him grace to believe that the Lord had called him and that the Lord would be with him. Now we listen to the story of Gideon's first act of judge. What would you expect Gideon's first act as judge to be? Probably that he was to fight against the Midianites, because the Lord called him for that purpose. Yes, he had to fight against the Midianites, as we read in chapter 7. But that was not the first undertaking. We have read it this morning. His first deed was to throw down the altar of Baal and cut down the grove that was near it. Why? We will see it in this story. The theme of the sermon is, the Lord called Gideon to perform his first act. Where he had to start. It started with his own family. Secondly, what he had to do. It happened in the way of atonement. Thirdly, the response. It gave a surprising fruit. The Lord called Gideon to perform his first act. Where he had to start, what he had to do, and the response. First of all, where Gideon had to start. It is remarkable that the first act of Gideon, the act of the judge Gideon, was not to fight against the Midianites, but to throw down the altar of Baal and cut down the grove. Isn't that strange? What did the distress of the people caused by the Midianites have to do with the service of Baal? An understandable question. But we have to remember what the Lord had done before he called Gideon. Do you remember, children? Before he sent Gideon to the enemies, he had sent a prophet to his people. A prophet who proclaimed that there would not be a disaster of Israel if the people but obeyed the Lord. If they had lived by God's covenant, the Lord would have given them all the blessings of the covenant. Now the people had been disobedient to the Lord. They served other gods. They served Baal and the goddess Ashtaroth, the gods of Canaan. They had forsaken the Lord, and so the curses of the Lord came upon them and overtook them. By sending the prophet, the Lord revealed his gracious call to repent. By sending the prophet, the Lord said to his people, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." What a miracle that the Lord sought his people with the aim of saving them. The Lord had called his people back to repentance. They had to break with idolatry and iniquity. Only if they would turn back to the Lord and serve him only, would they be delivered from the enemies. You see, the message of the prophet had everything to do with the deliverance of the Midianites. The purpose of the Lord by sending the prophet was to uncover the sins of his people, so they would forsake their idolatry and serve the Lord. Sin has to be acknowledged. It is a must to break with sin. Apparently, the word of the prophet did not bring all of Israel to repentance. They still committed the sin of idolatry. That is why Gideon, first of all, had to throw down the altar of Baal. Where did he start with this? In his own village, Ophrah. Where in Ophrah? Not on the neighbor's property, but in his father's backyard. Gideon had to break down the Baal worship in his own family. His father was a chief in the city. He was one of the leaders, and it seems that he had a Baal's altar for his own household, or perhaps for the whole town. Probably Gideon's father was a leader in idolatry. It must have grieved Gideon that his father was possessed with idolatry. Although other sons of Joaz had been killed by the enemies, Joaz continued to serve Baal. He did not cry out to the Lord, but persevered in the way of idolatry. He persevered in the way of idolatry. Gideon was the only one who remained faithful to the service of God. Gideon never succeeded to convince his father of his sin, and probably he had no courage to try it. But now the Lord gave him a clear command. That same night, the Lord returned to Gideon. He had to destroy the cultic images of his own relatives. Let us observe that the Lord started the Reformation at the house of Joaz. When we ask for a Reformation, we do not have to wait till it starts in the world. We do not have to wait till it starts with our neighbor. It's so easy to say what is wrong with others and where in the world a Reformation is needed badly. It's so easy to tell others to repent. A Reformation always has to start with ourselves. It has to start in our heart and in our houses and in our family. What is the cause of the lack of spiritual life nowadays? First of all, we have to seek the answer with ourselves. Do you have to part with something? Something that hinders you from entering into the kingdom of God? Are there idols in your house? Or is there no idolatry in your house? Your calendar, in your computer, in your cell phone, at the business, in the family, in your heart? Are there no things in your life you have to throw out? The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 18, "If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." Repentance starts with ourselves, and we need it for all of life, in our own family, in our business, at school. Yes, but it is so difficult because I cannot repent. Who has told you so? God's call to repentance makes me responsible. The fact that we are not willing to repent is never reason to remain in sin. Your inability to repent is all the more reason to seek repentance with God. You may come with your inability, and you have to come with it. You have to come with it, because you are not allowed to remain unconverted. Faith and repentance go hand in hand. But we are inclined to think of arguments to separate faith and repentance. For one, because we do not like to fight against the old man. We would like to be saved without wrestling against our old nature. But that's impossible. If we truly believe, we will hate sin in principle. Internally, you want to break away from the old man. Repentance will show itself in your life. No, that does not mean that reformation in your own life and family is easy. Probably you meet opposition in your life. You will meet opposition internally. The Lord Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." The gospel brings separation. And that's not pleasant for our flesh, but that loss yields a profit. The Lord sends blessings when we obey Him. We also see that in this history. God's commandment to Gideon was not an easy one, because he could be cast out by his family. His father was a chief in Ophrah and a prominent leader in idolatry. His father had encouraged the inhabitants to serve the idols. Gideon, however, longed to be obedient to the Lord. He had learned by grace to love the Lord more than his father, like Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Actually, we are in our second thought now, namely that what Gideon had to do. Gideon obeyed the commandment, trusting in the Lord. The same night in which the Lord had called him, Gideon cautiously went to his father's house. Gideon took 10 men of his servants, the farmhands, and they could help him to break down the altar of Baal and cut down the grove. Had these 10 men turned from the Baal worship through the preaching of the unknown prophet? It could be, but one thing is certain, these men feared the Lord. Otherwise, they would not risk making themselves odious among Ophrah's inhabitants. Gideon fulfilled his task according to God's commandment. He took 2 bullocks, a young bullock and a second bullock of 7 years old. We do not read what happened to the first bullock, but presumably he had used this bullock to break down the altar of Baal. You should imagine that the altar of Baal was an enormous structure that had to be broken down. To achieve this, it was necessary to have the strength of a large animal. The author of the book of Judges, however, emphasized that Gideon had to take the second bull, the 7-year-old bull. These were the years in which Israel was oppressed by the Midianites. This bull had stayed out of the hand of the Midianites all those years. Now the time had come that the bull was to be sacrificed, not unto Baal, but unto the Lord. It strikes us that Gideon performed his first act as judge by night. Why did he do it by night and not by day? We read the answer in verse 27. It was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city. How do we have to explain this? Was he afraid because of little faith? Was he afraid of the people because of lack of a confidence in the protecting power of the Lord? I don't think we have to explain it in this way. That they could be killed by the people was not reason that they did it by night. Rather, they were afraid that they could not finish the job. They did it by night because they were afraid that Joah's family and the inhabitants of Ophrah would hinder them in breaking down the image and the grove. The people all adored Baal. If Gideon would do this work by night, nobody would see what happened. By night, no one would notice what Gideon was doing. The result of destroying the Baal worship would be most effective. Therefore, it was rather a proof of faith and wisdom that Gideon and his men did it by night. Thus, Gideon and his men went about it. They destroyed Baal's altar and the grove of Ashtaroth as well. This way, this was Gideon's first act as judge. No, it's not correct to think that his first act was finished by destroying the Baal worship. The Lord had given him a second command that was inseparable from the first instruction. What was his second instruction? Gideon had to build an altar unto the Lord on top of the rock in an enclosed place near Baal's broken altar. Gideon had to build the altar in the ordered spot. That means that he had to build it in a proper way, like the Lord had said to Moses, as we read in Exodus 20, the altar must be of earth, not of hewn stone. So the Lord made clear to the covenant people that they should not only stop all idolatry and Baal worship, but serve the Lord only. For that reason, Gideon's task was divided into parts, breaking down and restoring. Meanwhile, do you notice God's grace and gracious actions in this history? The Lord did not only destroy the Baal worship. In His goodness and mercy, He restored the sacrificial service. Long ago, the Lord had instituted the service of the altar and the sacrifice of burnt offerings. Why? Because the Lord had provided a way in which people could live with Him. The Lord always seeks fellowship with His people. People who always run away and continually commit spiritual adultery. In the desert of Sinai, the Lord had given the commandments about altars, and now He has restored this service. The Lord did so with the same purpose as when He instituted it. God provided the means to worship Him. If the Lord had not provided, there never would have been any worship of the Lord. If we keep this in mind, the words of verse 26 become very special. Gideon had to take the second bullock of 7 years old and had to offer it as a burnt sacrifice. Children, what does a burnt sacrifice mean? A burnt sacrifice is necessary to make atonement and to obtain forgiveness of sin. The offering had to be consumed entirely. That is why Gideon had to sacrifice the bullock of 7 years old. 7 years. It's the same number of years the people were oppressed by the Midianites. The bullock was not stolen. All these years the Lord had saved this bullock in order that it would be offered as a burnt sacrifice. That means that the Lord was providing atonement for the sins of His people. The Lord was providing atonement for the sins of His people. A burnt sacrifice was necessary, because a multitude of sins had to be forgiven. There were a lot of sins in Israel. But when Gideon began his work as a judge, he became a proclaimer of the gospel. His work was a continuation of the message of the unknown prophet. God sought His people. He sought His people not to punish them, but miracle of grace, to offer them salvation. Without His people asking for it, the Lord provided an atonement by giving them a burnt sacrifice. After all, Gideon was doing this at the commandment of God. Congregation, it should be clear what the Lord proclaims in this history and in all the scriptures, namely that atonement and conversion are inseparable. Repentance from idolatry and atonement are connected. Gideon had to perform two acts which were inseparable: to destroy the Baal worship and at the same time to build an altar unto the Lord for a burnt sacrifice. Of course, Gideon had to destroy Baal's altar and the grove. And after that, what was left? Not only the rubble of the altar, but a debt of his people as well. Committing adultery increases our debt before God. The debt remains even when we break with sin. We have to break with our sins, but we need reconciliation as well. We need remission of sin. This forgiveness comes from God. That is indicated by the burnt sacrifice Gideon offered. There is atonement by blood only. In the light of the New Testament, we have to say that the burnt sacrifice foreshadows the offering to be brought by the Lord Jesus centuries later. The offering of his life, the offering of the Lord Jesus as a propitiation for all the sins of his people. By Jesus' blood, there is forgiveness of sin. For that reason, the Lord had to suffer and die. He charged himself with the debt of his people. He was nailed on the cross, the handwriting of the sins of his people. He shed his blood as propitiation of all the sins of many. That is the gospel you need. God opened a way of salvation in his only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Do you need him? Do you look forward to the propitiation, the forgiveness of your sins? Is that because you see that you are so inclined to serve yourself and the desires of this world, its prosperity and pleasures? Do you mourn because you are self-focused and see your many shortcomings in serving the Lord? If the Lord works in our hearts by his Spirit, we will turn from sinful desires and long for peace in our hearts. Such peace the Lord can only give through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace by his blood, because his blood covers all our debts. Blood which a sinner is reconciled to God. Blood by which a sinner is reconciled to God. Let us observe that Gideon carried out two instructions in the same night, namely throwing down the altar of Baal and building an altar unto the Lord. This is how it has to go in our lives. We have to break with our sins, and at the same time, we have to be seek reconciliation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not allowed to separate these two things. For sure, we have to turn from sin and we need reconciliation. But we cannot separate them. There is no reconciliation without conversion. And there is no true turning from sin without reconciliation. And woe the man who wants to turn from sin without seeking propitiation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will end up in a strict legalism. He will try to keep God's commandments and find forgiveness through his own righteousness. But legalism does not produce any reconciliation. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why we need repentance and faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. There's another danger as well. Namely, that we seek reconciliation in the Lord Jesus Christ without turning from sin and fleeing from our lusts. Then we try to believe in the Lord without repentance. We do not break with sin and do not turn from sin. In that way, your life is actually profane and worldly. You neglect the worship of the Lord. With that kind of faith, you just continue your old life. If you feel addressed because the preaching of the word uncovers your sins, you reply that it does not apply to you. You do not really like to give an account of your way of life. But if you truly repent, you are aware of your debt and you feel the shame for it, and you long to seek reconciliation in Christ. Do you seek the shelter behind the blood of Christ because you believe that only His blood cleanses from all sins? If you do not seek this, then it is high time for you to repent. It is long overdue. Otherwise your life will end up in an everlasting ruin. How can you appear before the Lord without turning from sin and without reconciliation? That is simply impossible. Now let us pay attention to the response of Father Joas and the inhabitants of the city, our third thought. The first visitors of Baal's altar came before starting work early in the morning. They could not believe their eyes. The altar had been broken down, and there was no grove anymore. They were very upset about this. It was clear somebody had wantonly destroyed it. What did they see on the top of the rock? An altar that still smoked. Who had done this? They started an investigation. Quickly it became clear that who had done it? Gideon and his men. I think it did not really surprise the inhabitants. After all, everyone knew that Gideon did not participate in the Baal worship. He fell out of tune. So it was not such a problem to find the culprit. The story about Gideon and the destructive work was told to all who would like to hear it. Before long, all in Ophrah knew it. The whole city came out to Gideon's father's house. They demanded of Joas to give up Gideon because he deserved to die. If someone dared to despise and spurn their Baal, he had to be slain. It's a sad thing to observe that people of the covenant were able to wander away so far from the commandments. The Lord had said in Deuteronomy 13 that one who forsakes the Lord and serves idols shall be surely put to death. Not Gideon deserved to die, but the inhabitants of Ophrah. What was the response of Gideon's father? Unexpectedly, he stood up for his son. How is it possible that a leader in Baal worship choose for his son? It is because blood runs thicker than water. It is love to his son. Is the love to his son greater than the love to Baal worship? I believe we may observe something else. It could well be the beginning of God's work in his heart. It seems that something was changing in his life. He had heard the unknown prophet and his call to repentance as well. Now he heard what his son had done. Had Joas come to realize that God had intervened? Did he realize that God was not to be mocked? He stood up for Gideon. He, the chief of the city. He asked all that stood up against him, "Will you plead for Baal? If he be God, let him plead for himself." It is dangerous to plead this, for it could be seen as an insult to Baal. Let Baal save himself. It's not necessary to help him. The people recognized this reasoning, and they had to agree with Joas, that, and they all went home. This must have encouraged Gideon. Lord had given the first fruits upon his labor. His father had changed his mind. That was important, because Joas was an influential man of the city. In this way, the Lord prepared the way for salvation of Israel by Gideon. The chief of the city stood up for Gideon. Gideon could observe God's work. The Lord was doing preparatory work, so that within the shortest possible time, Gideon would be acknowledged as the judge of Israel. God did this preparatory work without anyone seeing it. No one noticed except Gideon. The Midianites and their associates would come very soon again to rob the country. No one would have the courage to defend himself against the Midianites, it seemed. But now it was clear that the time of the Lord had come, the time in which the Lord changed everything, the time in which the Lord would save his people. God's time is always the best. For our feelings, the Lord came late, or maybe too late. Sometimes we wonder if the Lord could not have come sooner when we are in great distress. We wonder what the sense of waiting is. Waiting for the Lord, waiting for salvation. But the Lord's ways are higher ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. God's calendar is always better than ours, and God's time is the best. Sometimes the Lord waits to save, because we need to learn that we can do nothing of ourselves. The Lord has to expend great effort to make us humble, so that we will acknowledge our need and we will seek him for salvation. The Lord tests our trust in him, like we sing with Psalter 387, "When gloom and sorrow compass me, the path I take is known to thee." We read that Joas gave his son a new name, Jerubbaal. Let Baal plead against him. That is the meaning. But it will not happen, for Baal is not a god. By Gideon it will be proven that the God of Israel is the living God. In the meantime, let us mark God's mercy and long-suffering in this history. The Lord had sent an unknown prophet to his people to seek their repentance. God's first deed emphasized this. He remained the people to to exterminate the Baal worship and to serve the Lord only, to serve Him through the burnt sacrifice. But instead of repenting and confessing their trespasses, they continued serving Baal. Instead of offering a burnt sacrifice to atone for their sin, they sought to kill Him who stood up for the service of the Lord. What does this say about the people? They are always hearing, but never understood. And they always saw, but never perceived. The Lord had called them to repentance. They were pointed to the need of turning from sin. They suffered from the Midianites for 7 years, but still they did not repent. Incomprehensible, one of us will say. If I had lived in those days, I would have known what to do. In all honesty, has something changed in your life, really? What did you do when the Lord showed you your sins? What do you do when your conscience tells you to repent? What do you do when you listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ? If we do not break from sin and do not repent to the living God in sincerity, we are just like these people. Always hearing, but never understanding, and always seeing, but never perceiving. We are on our way to everlasting ruin if we always live our own lives, if we serve the Lord and the Baal of our days. The Lord is still merciful and long-suffering to you as well. The Lord has not put an end to our life yet. He still reveals to you the way of repentance and faith. He still points out the way of reconciliation revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The way of salvation is still open. Seek this way. You need to surrender to the Lord. Do not go home unrepentant, but humble yourselves before the Lord. God is willing to provide deliverance from the power of sin. God can cover your entire debt by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is an abundance of grace with the Lord. Do not waste the time of grace, for you will only regret it. What a blessing. If your heart is broken because of such much patience and goodness of the Lord. The Lord our God builds up His church. He seeks her wandering sons. He binds their wounds and gently heals the broken-hearted ones. Amen.